So that's what we have going on here in the scripture. And it's a real thing. It's the changing tack of the church led by God from season to season, from age to age, in the life of the local church. That's what we're watching. Now, we need to caution against resisting healthy scrutiny of ourselves, don't we? Is anybody happy to hear that at this point? Because you wouldn't want to become unmoored and wily, subject to every rushing wind of doctrine and be tossed back and forth. You wouldn't want that. Critics are not simply people with bad attitudes. They're not the baddies in this story, and Peter's the goodie. Critics are wrong, though, when they stand in the way of God moving. That's clear from the scripture. But as we saw, abiding believers remain persuadable. You don't see a fight with Peter coming and saying, here's what God did. You see people who listen to God listen to the story of how God led and agree and say clearly, seeing it, thinking about it, that sounds right. There are people who represent the voice of reason in the body of Christ. So I don't think if someone steps up and says something with a strong voice and with authority, says something, that you need to be quiet because you're unsure or because you doubt yourself, and that would make me a critic. That's really not the case. The body of Christ is the voice of God through every believer with the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. But the person who stands in the face of what God's doing, criticizing, needs to listen to the reason and to at least be open to the understanding and to be persuadable. There ought to result agreement between all parties in the church, in the body of Christ, with Jesus Christ, the head, leading. The hand doesn't do what it wants to, or we would say that there's something wrong with the hand. When we want to scratch our nose, I would like very much for my hand to just obey what it's told from the head and do the job. It takes two hands to clap. Coordinating. It's clear. Often we need critical thinking, right? The sensible voice of others as we exercise our communal discernment of God's will, our confirmation of God's will in the local community. Do you understand those phrases? Have you been Baptist long enough to know the phrase communal discernment? It's a specific and it's a sort of code language for the church meeting. When the body of believers come together and say, this is what we think. This is what I understand about it. I have a concern, can I ask? And what about this thing? Has that been considered communally, together, discerning the will of God, which is one thing, which can be known by all in the room. And if everyone's hearing it, there's agreement. I think you find confirmation of God's will through agreement, not in through politicking and through propaganda and persuasion, but through agreement in principle and in fact and in direction. We talk about unity in the church. That's what this means. And that's what we see working when we like this story. We are accountable to one another in covenant community of the church, but we want to be flexible as we hear from others about how they believe God is leading them, don't we? The prophet comes from outside of a group and says, hear now the word of the Lord. When whoever shows up, who is it, Samuel, who shows up to anoint David, and he shows up at the town, and the elders come out to the town, they go, are you here for peace or for calamity, you know? They're like, did you come to let the hammer fall? And he said, no, I'm here to bless you. Come on, let's have a barbecue, you know? But God, sometimes he gets a whole group of people in there, and we all are like, we got our headphones on, and we're going forward, and we're just, I'm going to do it. Yeah. And then, does he want our attention, and how does he get it? And if you, as a member of the church, hear from God, do you bring it? Are you faithful? Even if you think you're the only one. Elijah thought he was the only one, and the only one left. And God said, there's thousands more. Speak up. Go and do what I say. Go and anoint Jehu. Nobody's ready for him to be king. Go and do the job. This is how God works. He comes out of left field. He directs his church. With regard to the circumcision party, right, you want to bear in mind that Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, well, about Jesus, Matthew chapter 10 says that he sent out the 12 and he instructed them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, these secret circumcision party, these Jewish believers, they will remember that. Jesus said, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans. Stick to the Jews. And again, the Holy Spirit bears witness to the words of Jesus Christ. There was this Canaanite woman, not Christian, from that region, and she was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But Jesus did not answer her a word. Jesus ignored a mother crying out for her daughter to be delivered from a demon. Is that right or fair or good? Jesus is doing it. And the disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away. She's crying out after us. And Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now remember that. They're holding fast to what they understand. This is the problem with critics, is that they were standing on the last standing orders they had received. They hadn't been listening lately. The reason we refer to them as critics is that they were contending. They had old manna, and the Lord guides fresh daily. The circumcision party, they tended to withdraw, and left to their own devices, they would desert the non-Jewish believers. The word for criticized, if you care, is diakrino. So it means to separate oneself in a hostile spirit, to oppose, to strive with, to dispute, to contend. That's what it says about these Jewish believers and Peter. They were ready to fight about it. They were in a tussle. And this is the sticky place where sin lurks in the church meeting. We discern, we consider, but we are to remain united. So we can pull it off. We will succeed. And this church succeeds. But it's there, and it threatens, and it lurks. And if you've ever been in a church meeting where any amount of conflict has happened, you think, oh, I don't want to be here, I don't want to be here, you know? Or if you've been to one meeting, you think, I don't know if I go back to a meeting like that. I don't like the way that goes. People ought to conduct themselves in a certain way. You got to be there to ensure that we get there, to be those people who are that way. That's what's so helpful about membership in a church, is participation in how we worship and what we do, our mission, our strategy, how we control ourselves because we have people around us to help us be honest and straight and fair. It's a good thing. We're here to consider and to agree, as the Jerusalem church did with Peter. So look at verse 19 of Acts chapter 11. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews, because Jesus said, only the Jews. So they were still doing it good and right. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch also spoke to the Hellenists, which are Jewish people who follow Jewish Greek culture. I know it's a Roman world, but really, Rome built the roads and Greek culture took the hearts. And so Hellenists are people who are, I don't know if it would be completely ridiculous to call them worldly believers who are Jewish but not following Jewish custom. People who ought to be cut off for not doing it right. People who maybe don't circumcise their kids anymore. We don't have to do that mutilation. It's not required anymore. Right? they came and they spoke to those not quite right people also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Do you see the two words next to each other? Believed, turned. They're mentioned separately. They are a thing. Do you believe? The devil believes. And he is doomed. And he won't be the king of hell. He'll be in the lake of fire, where death is destroyed and him with it. Believe and turn. Young men in the back, I am getting distracted by you. Stop it. Do you see that verse in verse 21? Believe and turn to the Lord. It's significant.